contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. I mean, the point is, you can't do anything with her. Or flip back to chapter 21 of Proverbs. In Proverbs 21 and verse 9, we read, "It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman." And then looking at verse 19 of that same chapter, "It's better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman." I mean, there is nothing worse than being married to this woman. It would be better to be up on the roof in the elements. It would be better to be in the desert with the heat and the dehydration. Anything is better than a lifetime married to her. Now, does that mean that marriage is a bad thing? Of course not. Marriage is God-given. Marriage is a wonderful thing with which He's blessed His people for numerous reasons. We won't even begin to get into that right now. But if we're wise, we'll think about who we marry. If we're wise, we'll think about what we marry. If we're being faithful, we will wait upon the Lord as we pray for Him to provide the right thing and the right type of person. And of course, we can say that about men or women, but we're looking a little bit more this evening specifically at the woman. But we read beginning in chapter 31 and verse 10 of Proverbs, "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it's still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.' Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray now that you would search our hearts, that you Or if we want to be chosen by those who are wise, then we will look at what we are to be and what we are to look for. If you're wise, then again, specifically, we're talking about the way that we evaluate Christian ladies this evening. If you're wise, this is what you will be and strive to increasingly be. And for some of you, it will be what you look for yourself or for a friend or for a family member, for a son. And so what do we see about this portrait of a godly woman, this woman of worth, this woman of excellence? Well, the first thing that you notice about her is she is incessantly industrious. You get the impression as you read this, she does not stop moving. She clearly is familiar with the proverb, go to the ant. And she is definitely not the slugger. She gathers raw materials. She works them. She delights. We read that she gathers or she brings her food from afar. And this is in the days before Amazon. When now we can order anything from all over the world. But in that day, she's dialed in. She's aggressively finding the resources that she needs for the different things that she's seeking to do. She acquires the raw materials. She works them with her own hands. No doubt there are some that she trains to work with their hands as well and oversees what they do. And she delights in the work that she does. She sees the value and the benefit of it. She rises early in the morning to serve the servants. Now, I think I mentioned this years ago, the last time I was going through this passage, but if you go back and you look at, if you like to read history and you think about what the plantation mistress actually looked like on plantations in the South 150 years ago. Now, this is not a comment that everything about Southern culture was good, but it's to say this, if you really look at the history, the plantation mistress was very often extraordinarily hard working. I mean, she was the nurse for all of the servants. She was the one that oversaw the running of the household. She was the one that would have, when they were young, been rearing the children and training them up and even seeing how others were in the loop helping to rear those children. And so she was very busy. Well, here this is a woman who is the head of a household under her husband. And yet she's very busy laboring, working. She makes herself strong from hard work. And again, notice we're not talking about somebody who is really this lilting little flower. She considers a field and she buys it. I mean, you can imagine, this is a woman who does business with men at times. How much do you want for that field? I need to walk around and look at it. Your price is a little high. Okay, that's fair. I'll buy it. I'll take it. And so she does these things. She cultivates the resources that she has. Well, somebody has said she runs literally a household conglomerate, a household industrial enterprise. She's up late. She is incessantly industrious. So, young men, is that what you're looking for? Young ladies, is that what you're seeking to be? I mean, are you looking for cute or hardworking? Are you seeking after beautiful or faithful and diligent? The story is told of Robert Louis Dabney, one of the old, probably the second greatest theologian in the old Southern Presbyterian Church, and as was not unusual in that day, Dabney graduated seminary, still single. And of course, what happened to all these single ministers when they would go into these largely country churches is immediately everybody in the church tried to get them married to their daughter or to their niece or to someone they knew. And Dabney went to visit with one of the families in the church. He was sitting and talking to the head of the household, some man that was an elder in the church. And then Dabney caught movement out of the corner of his eye. And it was this slender redhead rounding the corner with a basket full of clothes, carrying them upstairs. She didn't have time to stop and talk. She was busy. And Dabney thought, I'd like to meet her. what do you look like at school? What does she look like at school? What are you doing this summer? What do you do after graduation? When she passes you in the hall, is she just kind of meandering? Is she moving with a purpose? Is she always available, or sometimes does she have to look at people and say, I'd love to, but I'm too busy? Is she incessantly industrious? This person, the incessantly industrious person, is not hard to spot. The question is, are you looking for her? Are you seeking to be her? Are you really trying to attract people to you by looking good, or are you trying to serve Christ faithfully, knowing that in His good time He'll bring along the right one? Again, she's incessantly industrious. But the next thing you see is she's productively kind. She's not just busy in activity. So let me write that out. She's productive and she's kind. She's not just busy in terms of staying busy and being active and just being frenetic. She's productive. Again, she brings these raw materials and she forms them into a product. She works a vineyard, and then she sells the produce. She produces clothing for herself and for the members of her household, and enough to sell to others. And she doesn't just do that for profit. She does that in order to make sure that people are being taken care of. And we see as well that she opens her mouth in wisdom in verse 26, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Now remember what kind means. In modern language, we sort of think that kind simply means cordial or nice. But kind historically has had this sense of being making yourself useful to somebody. Maybe you've read old books or seen something set a couple hundred years ago, and someone would say, "Thank you for your kindness, sir." What does that mean? If you read those things in books, it's never somebody saying, "Thank you for being nice." It's, "Thank you for providing my need. Thank you for helping me and relieving my burden." And so she's kind. She reaches out to the poor and needy. She produces. She supplies. She relieves. She's productively kind. So again, here's the question. And this isn't just a question for young ladies. It can be a question really for us at every stage of life. Are you productive or are you consumptive and redistributive? Are you productive or consumptive? Do you produce things or just suck things up? Or are you productive, say another way, are you productive or you just redistribute one person's stuff to other people? Well, there's consumptive. You just take things and eat them up for yourself. Utilize them for yourself. There's redistributive. You might do things for certain people, but it's at the expense of other people. Or are you productive and productively kind? Again, you need to be productive. You and I don't just need to be busy, but we need to be productive. And we need to be seeking to serve others, not just doing things for ourselves, but we need to be productively kind. That means we don't, flip side of that, we don't need to be just catching up with whatever happened with 750 out of our 1,000 friends on Facebook. We don't need to just be sitting in front of Netflix binge-watching one thing after another. I know there's vacation and things like that, but are you productively kind? Are you seeking to acquire things for yourself or to be productive for the glory of Christ, and then even to provide for the needs of others? And not just, again, for yourself or even your household, but for the need. Do you work to serve others? Are you productively kind? If you're wise, this is what you'll be, and this is what you'll look for. But there's a third thing that we can see in this passage. She's wise in the law of love. Look again at verse 26. on her tongue. This is really the foundation of why she does all the other things. Now we're kind of getting to the heart of the matter. What is it that drives this woman? What is it that makes her tick? Well, she speaks in wisdom. Why? Because the teachings of Torah and Hesed are on her tongue. The teachings of the law of God and the loving kindness or the covenant faithfulness of God, those things are on her tongue. She understands the law of God and His covenant mercies. She knows the word, she loves the Lord, and she speaks based upon what she knows from the word of God. There's a great example of this. I brought it up recently as we celebrated a holiday. But flip over in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Luke 1:46. In Luke 1:46, this is what your Bibles may have a little heading that says the Magnificat, and it's Mary giving praise to God after she is visited with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has praised God as John the Baptist has leapt for joy in her womb. And then Mary says this, beginning in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regard for the humble state of His bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is He, and His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Were they doing that before they were ever trying to win you over? Or as we said to my daughter in high school, any boy who likes you will love Jesus. Or at least he'll say he does. If he really likes you. But is this someone who is wise in the law of love when they weren't trying to win anybody over? They simply, out of love for Christ, were striving to grow in the knowledge of his word. If you're wise, this is what you'll be, and this is what you'll look for. This is what you'll strive to be, and this is what you will pray God will bring along. Someone who is incessantly industrious, someone who is productively kind, someone who is wise in the law of love. But then finally we see someone who is a blessing and truly blessed. Again, flipping back to Proverbs 31, it says in verse 28, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. You are a glorious gift of the Lord. Now remember, he's already said before that, he said that her husband is known in the gates. He's not loafing around either. He's leading in society. He's laboring in a calling. Years ago, I remember some poor misguided soul, it's not anybody here, but somebody saying, well, you know, this is a justification for her working, so he can kind of hang out in the gates and just talk theology with everybody who runs the town. And I thought, oh, really not the application of Proverbs 31. He's not someone who's idle. He's not someone who's unfaithful himself. He is again leading in society, and he is laboring in his calling, but he recognizes the value of his wife and the blessing that she is in his life. And the children and the husband rise up to speak. They rise up to call her blessed. They acknowledge that she is a blessing and that through her they have been blessed as well. If you're wise, this is what you'll be. If you're wise, this is what you'll be looking for. Now, of course, here's the reality, and I've joked about this, but we really do have one or two ladies in the congregation that told me they hate sermons on Proverbs 31 because they said, I always feel utterly defeated. Well, of course, this woman is in some ways an idealized depiction. Many of the Proverbs, again, they're not talking about some exact person over there. They're talking about a type of person. Or they're painting a picture, or they're describing a generality. And so, remember that this is a sort of idealized depiction of a godly wife and mother. And of course, none of us are here perfectly. And so again, don't read Proverbs 31 and say, okay, here's what I've got to start doing. I've got to start sleeping 3 hours a night so that I can farm the backyard, form the bread, homeschool the children, weave the clothing, weave the fabric to then make the dresses and the pants and the jackets and all these. I mean, that's not where we need to go with Proverbs 21, but or 31, but it is to see that this is someone that is seeking to serve diligently and faithfully and energetically in such a way that she is a blessing and truly blessed. And so are you seeking to grow according to these patterns? Are you affirming and encouraging these things? I didn't say commanding. Are you affirming and encouraging these things in your wife as she strives imperfectly to embody them? In your children as you see them striving to grow in the grace of God? You know, I remember a pastor friend of mine saying years ago, we always see more of what we affirm. We always see more of what we commend. And so are you seeking to commend and encourage, even as a young woman or a mom or a wise.